Well, let me echo the words of Mr. Boggs' prayer and rejoice, brethren. It is so good to be with you on this day. Now, I kind of worked myself into a corner when I say rejoice, but I want us to see that that is the appropriate response even to the Day of Atonement. Please take your Bibles and turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. In 1 Peter chapter 4, I'd like to look at verses 12 and 13, and then drop down to verses 17 through 19. Beginning in verse 12, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator." So there's three phrases in there I want you to pay particular attention to, because I'm going to draw your attention back to them. One is in verse 13, "Rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings." The other comes in verse 17, "For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God." And then down in verse 19, "Let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him." That's what we're going to talk about today, rejoicing in affliction. It's no secret to people that know me that I am a fan, even a self-described expert in the Andy Griffith Show. I like the characters, I like the pace, I like the scenes, I like the dialogue, all taking place in 1950s Mayberry, North Carolina. One of the ongoing themes of the Andy Griffith Show, some of you probably know, is the ineptitude of the deputy, Barney Fife, played by Don Knotts. What people don't always know is that Andy Griffith, who played Sheriff Andy Taylor of Mayberry, was actually cast to be that particular character, the sort of dim-witted, inept local sheriff. Think Jerry Lewis. This is what Andy Griffith was supposed to be. But what they found over the course of the first season is that Don Knotts was just so good at it, and the chemistry between him and Andy was so good, they just went with what they found. One of my favorite themes that comes up again and again in Andy Griffith is this. Barney, with his bullet, one bullet in his pocket, is doing something that is not exactly what he's supposed to be doing. And as a result, he gets himself into trouble, usually in trouble with some kind of criminal. Well, as a result, Barney then has to figure his way out, and it seems to climax when Barney has figured it out and the criminal surrenders to Barney, even though all of us who are watching the show recognize that Andy is standing behind Barney and the criminal is actually responding to Andy. It's a great theme. I love that theme because it's funny. It's funny because Barney is funny doing it. I also love that theme because it sort of describes my relationship with God sometimes. Just when I think I am doing something impressive, just when I think I'm doing something altogether to draw attention, I realize it's only God doing it. I realize, left to my own devices, I'm inept. Left to my own devices, I'm incompetent. Worse than that, left to my own devices, I'm poor, I'm blind, I'm broken, and I'm bound. All of these things. And so all of the efforts that I put forth, when we realize that it is God working through us, it changes the way we see our relationship with God, and it changes the way we see exactly what we're doing. I do have a criticism of the Andy Griffith Show. I know. It's hard to believe. But I have a criticism. In the last couple of years, these were the ones in color. That's not the criticism. I'm okay with that. Barney actually moved to Raleigh. Some of you remember this? Okay, Barney moved to Raleigh and went to work for a big city police department in Raleigh. And there are a couple of episodes where Andy travels to Raleigh to see Barney, to visit Barney. Here's the criticism. Barney never learns. Barney never grows. And when Andy shows up in Raleigh to visit with Barney, it's the same story again and again. Barney's making mistakes. Barney's incompetent. And Andy has to overcome it. This is where the analogy, when you and I think about our relationship with God, fundamentally breaks down. Because we are already anticipating, God willing, we're going to be attending the Feast of Tabernacles. And the Feast of Tabernacles is going to represent an opportunity that you and I have to serve alongside Jesus Christ in the restoration of God's creation and the reconciliation of people, not only to God, but people to one another. It is not going to be a time for incompetence. It's not going to be a time for ineptitude. It's going to be an opportunity for you and I, as we have grown in our relationship with God and our faithfulness to execute the giftedness that He's given us, He is going to reward us by allowing us to serve alongside Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. So I accept that there are times now that my ineptitude is absolutely overshadowed by God's grace. But as I anticipate the Feast of Tabernacles and what it represents, I do not want my ineptitude to be the story. So we looked ahead. I want to look back just a little bit. I want to go back to 10 days ago at the Feast of Trumpets. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 19. One of the verses in the 1 Peter passage I asked you just to pay close attention to was verse 19. Who suffer according to the will of God, commit their souls to Him. Well, in Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 19, we read this. This is a reference to one of the trumpets or an alarm that was to be blown at the Feast of Trumpets. Jeremiah 4:19, "Oh, my soul, I am pained in my very heart. My heart makes a noise in me. I cannot hold my peace because you have heard, oh my soul, the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war." You see, you may have heard last at the Feast of Trumpets, but just let this be a reminder. Sometimes the trumpets are silver and they're metal and they're used to make music and they're used to provide different distinct sounds. This is a reference to the shofar. A reference to an alarm of war getting your attention. And this idea, oh my soul, I am pained in my very heart. John Goldingay says it should be rendered this way, my insides, I writhe the walls of my heart. And the Anchor Bible says, oh, my bowels, I writhe, oh, walls of my heart. Now, why am I telling you this? Because I think that some of you are having an experience with this today. And I think it is exactly what this day is designed to create in you and me, is the experience of our bodies actually feeling what it's like to writhe in our souls for the experience that God has called us to. Golden Gay would say in his commentary, maybe he feels this way because of what he's already experienced or seen in a vision, or maybe he imagines what it will be like for him and everyone else when people hear the sound of the alarm. He's inviting his audience into an active imagination. That's what you and I have been invited to, is an act of imagination. What's going on in our bodies as we fast? What's going on in our souls as we afflict our souls? Is an imagination of how much we desperately need God to intervene in order that we might go to the feast. Turn to Leviticus chapter 23, verse 23, please. Leviticus 23, verse 23, this is something we've already gone over at the Feast of Trumpets, but I want you to see something. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it, and you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. In the very next verse, it goes on in verse 26. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, also the 10th day of the seventh month shall be the day of atonement. It shall be a holy convocation for you. You shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire to the Lord, and you shall do no work on that same day, for it is the day of atonement, to make atonement for you before the Lord your God. You shall afflict your souls. Or to borrow the Anchor Bible or Golden Gay, you shall afflict your insides. You shall afflict your bowels. The time between the biblical Feast of Trumpets and the Day of Atonement is a period revered in Jewish tradition. It's known as the Days of Awe. In Jewish thinking, this is a time of judgment, affliction, repentance, and restoration, all to God through a deep introspection and a deep examination of our own lives. But make no mistake, it's designed for us to do together. We do this collectively. The Day of Atonement each year, the nation of ancient Israel was figuratively cleansed from its sins. This figurative cleansing was only a type of a spiritual cleansing that will occur first for the people of Israel and then for the rest of the world after Christ returns. So let's consider with me, if you will, three ways that you and I afflict our collective. I'm going to start over. Three ways that our collective souls are afflicted. Number one, you and I afflict our collective souls so that we may remember. Number two, you and I afflict our collective souls so that we may repent. And number three, you and I afflict our collective souls so that we may rejoice. We afflict our collective souls so that we may remember. Perhaps you'll recall from Deuteronomy 16:3, in a totally different holy day context, it reads, you shall eat no unleavened bread. with 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. I'm going to start over one more time. You shall eat no leavened bread. With it, it must be the undercaffeinated. That must be what it is. Thank you for the affirmation. Deuteronomy 16:3 reads, "You shall eat no leavened bread with it." Three times. That's all it took, and I got it. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread with it. That is the bread of affliction. For you came out of the land of Egypt in haste, that you may remember the day in which you came out of the land of Egypt all the days of your life. God's holy day plan began with us examining our lives and taking in a bread of affliction so that we could remember what we were like before God intervened. This is another opportunity for you and I to do the same thing in anticipation of the Feast of Tabernacles. Remember that apart from Christ, you and I are woefully incompetent, inadequate, inept, blind, and in bondage. You and I must afflict today our collective souls that we may repent. That's the purpose of this time, of this season, is to repent. What I told the folks in Waco is, maybe you don't automatically see that the days of awe apply to you and me in the church of God. Maybe. Here's a suggestion. Repent anyway. Because you and I are embarking on an opportunity to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. As a very practical matter, I'm going to suggest to you that there is no better way to ensure that you have a free and liberated and Feast of Tabernacles filled with rejoicing than to repent now. Examine your life, examine any known sin, consider it, and repent of it in anticipation. I guarantee you, you will walk into the Feast of Tabernacles ready to rejoice. In 2 Chronicles, I'm not addicted to caffeine, clearly. I just like it. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. We often hear this verse at things like National Days of Prayer or places when people get together who are considering ourselves as a nation in the United States. But I'm going to submit to you today that this has direct application to you and me as the people of God. Remember, the other verse I told you to keep an eye on in 1 Peter was, "The time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God." 2 Chronicles 7:14, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land." Remember, judgment begins at the house of God. You and I have no authority and no credibility to speak outward about repentance and forgiveness if you and I have not practiced the same. But I have great news. The great news is that we are here today to afflict our collective souls that we may rejoice, that we may celebrate. The Bible actually tells us to celebrate this day. Turn, please, to 2 Corinthians 4, verses 15 through 18. Second Corinthians 4, verse 15, "For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day." Verse 17, "For our light affliction," "for our light affliction which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Again, there's a practical implication here. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that day 2, day 3, day 4 of the Feast of Tabernacles, you are not going to have a recollection of how you feel right now. It echoes what Paul says in Romans 8:18, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." I say, take every opportunity today to linger in the affliction of your souls. Allow it to penetrate your very consideration of who you are and where you are in your relationship with God. In anticipation of celebrating and rejoicing at the Feast of Tabernacles, which is only available to you and an opportunity to you because of the grace of God, then take this day, this opportunity, to rejoice in those afflictions. Paul said in Philippians 4, verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Always. Again, I say, rejoice. It is our practice in the United Church of God, in keeping with the teaching in Leviticus 23 and also in Deuteronomy 16, to give, to receive an offering on this holy day, in accordance with the blessing that God has given you, God has given me. We have ushers who are prepared to come and give you a green envelope. If you need a green envelope that will make processing of this offering that much easier, if you'll just lift your hand, the ushers will put one in it. This is another opportunity, part of this holy day expression. And if you need another reason to rejoice, let me offer up 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 and 7. "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." So we have offertory special music today that will be played while the offering is received. It's a piano solo entitled "Peace Restored." It is composed and performed by Angela Parker. So let me say, I so pray that God bless you with a joy-filled and bountiful Feast of Tabernacles. But I pray that today you and I might rejoice in our affliction.